Okay, so Freilich Hanukkah, everybody. Usually we take a piece from a sefer that deals with some topic, something about Hanukkah. And let me just a minute of introduction about what the sefer is. I think it's always important when you look at a sefer to know who you're learning from. And this sefer is called Or Gedaliah. It was written by Rabbi Gedaliah Shor. Rabbi Gedaliah Shor was, I guess, from the first American Rosh Hashivas. He was born in Europe in 1910, but he came to America when he was a young boy. He learned the Torah Vadas and was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. At the age of 22, 23, the Rosh Hashiva Reb Shlomo Hyman had become sick, and they gave him to say the highest share. Reb Shlomo Hyman was a Rav Peres Prize Talmud, and he was taking over the share at that age. He was, Reb Aaron Kotler said, he's the first American genius that he ever met, the first American Ilui. He learned in Europe some part of time, learned in Kletsk, and came back to America really at the last moment. He also was a, he had an extremely deep interest in machshava of a Hasidic type. He was one of those people who brought into the yeshiva world the genre of machshava that drew us very deeply from Hasidic makoros. He himself came from a Hasidic home, his parents were Rishonim, and he himself had a way of giving over the Hasidic thought in ways that really people could relate to. He died fairly young. He was 69. He died in 1979. I remember the Vayanat Yisrael. And of course, there's a Silver Spring connection. Dr. Jacob Shor, who lived here, is either a first cousin or a nephew. I don't remember the exact, but it's the same Shor family. They put out from him an extremely an extremely profound and enjoyable work on it's on Chumash and Yom Tovim, three not big volumes. It's his last 3 years of Shurim. He had much more. I don't know if they didn't record it, if they're just not putting it out, but definitely his Shurim are extremely thought-provoking, and they open up a whole world of the Hasidic thinking in a type of language and structure that we can relate to. So we're going to see the piece on it's two sides. On page 72, this test, Lashkicham Torasecha. And let's first give a sense of what his point is. What's he addressing? What's the issue? What's he dealing with? The word to forget is a simple mental description of something that we don't remember. We can forget something. Shachachti is a word that it makes sense. I forgot something. That makes sense. I can say in Hebrew, nishkach. Something was forgotten. With time, it became neglected and was forgotten. Also, a form of the word that makes sense. Lehashkiach is difficult. To cause the other to forget. When do I use that type of word? I caused him to forget. I mean, in English we would say, I jarred his memory. But what does it mean, I jarred his forgetting? I caused him to forget. Is that something that really we could... So yes, I know we can. It means that they would make so many gzeiros, and they would forsake it. Possibly a better translation would be to cause them to forsake. So lashkiach would not mean so much to forget, but to forsake. That's a central issue. What he's going to try to explain is the concept of shikha in a way that does make sense, that it's about forgetting Torah, and it will deal with the issue of the concept of shikha in a Torahic perspective. So we'll start test. Lashkicham Torasecha. Hayivanim rotzu ligrom shikhas haTorah. They wanted to cause shikhas haTorah. And in general, I'd like to just even using this phrase itself, shikhas haTorah. We can speak, if I test a student in the school, and he doesn't know his material well, I don't speak about his forgetting of history or forgetting of Chumash. I speak about not putting enough effort to remember it. We always talk about memory as being what you need to do and forgetting as being a default setting. We forget stuff unless we repeat it enough times and you know, use mnemonic devices and so on. Why would shikcha be the act of it? So he said, but there is the concept of shikcha sator. Shikcha sator is used in many places, shokheach talmudo, and many times it's seen as the evil is the forgetting of it rather than the positive of remembering. We see that the Yevanim actually touched that point of it causing shikcha sator. Where? So he brings this. The Mishnah Sota says, "Mishemes Yosi ben Yoezer batlu ha'eshkolos." When Yosi ben Yoezer died, the eshkolos became batel. The word eshkol in the context that the Mishnah is using doesn't have parallels to it. What is the word eshkol? Eshkol means a cluster of grapes. What does it mean? Batel eshkolos. Meforish my eshkolos. Amir Yudah Mashmul ish. Shehakolbo, the person who has everything. Now, the normal interpretation is sort of like a Renaissance man. He knows this, and he knows this, and he knows this. And in modern jargon, when you talk about ish ha'eshkolot, it is a word used in Hebrew, mostly like for guest of honors and for matzevus. You know, the ish ha'eshkolot means like a Renaissance man. He knew everything, was involved in a lot of things. But the Gemara Rashi gives the Gemara says a very different pshat. Rashi says upirish Rashi. Torah ba'amita, Torah the way it really is, ve'en doifi v'shikha u'machlokes. In other words, when we have Torah, it's not clear. It's something that's missing in the clarity of it. How so? So Rashi itemizes three things. There's doifi. That's an intentional perversion of Torah, where we pervert the meaning of it. So I can quote to you the Chazal and the Psukim, but I twist the meaning. That's dofi. Shikha, I forget pieces and chunks of it. So when I present Torah and I'm missing a critical piece of information, that Torah is lacking. It's not complete. It's not what it is. It's not the way it should be. And third of all, he says, machlokas. Machlokas is caused not by ill will when you have a machlokas in Torah, but by ambiguity, and you don't know what it means exactly. So all of these are a distorted image of Torah. It's like when you see something through a lens that's not sharply focused, or there's some chromatic aberration in the lens. You see a picture that's yes, but not quite what it ought to be. So Yosef ben Yoezer is the person that one of the key elements that it came to an end was a Torah that didn't have a shikha to it. And that's why it's called a kolbo. Doesn't mean many disciplines, but Torah in its entirety, exactly the way it's supposed to be. Now he says, V'yosi ben Yoezer ha'yibi me'avonim. He was one of the zugos. V'nerag al yodam. Now, I've seen this quoted in a few places. I don't know what the primary source for that is, that Yosef ben Yoezer was killed by Yevanim. It says that he was killed, that he was martyred. The connection, Yevanim, I've seen in a few Sfarim, mostly Chassidus Sfarim. I don't know where the primary marker in the Medrash is, but I will take it on faith. Reb Tzadik says it, others say it. V'oz b'yimei mischilo Yevanim v'nereg al yodam. So you see that they killed a person who represented the last of the people without Shikas HaTorah, and there he says, I find some sort of an allusion to the fact that there is Shikras HaTorah was brought about by Yevonim. It's certainly not the primary issue that they killed Yisrael, but it gives us a sense that that was where their activity was focused on. Okay, so now let's explain a little bit what this Shikra is. Another point before we go on. We tend to think of Shikra, in other words, anything that's a dry neurological, psychological phenomena doesn't carry Torah value with it. For instance, how quickly do I understand when somebody introduces an idea to me? I'm not a good person if I can do it, if I chop a shit like this. I'm not a bad person if I can't. It's whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me. The same thing is true, one would think, of memory. That some people, they look at a list, and then they can repeat it, a string of numbers, they can repeat it backwards and forwards, upwards and downwards, and so on. I couldn't call a person a tzaddik if he remembers everything because he's got that type of memory. And I couldn't call a person a rasha if he doesn't remember because he doesn't have good memory. I could say if you'd review it more, if you'd learn it more, but that's not really something that I can't be talking about that description and tagging onto it a marker for good or bad. We're talking about something else. And he says, Shikras HaTorah ba mechisoren dveikas babore. Kima odom dovok legamav Hashem Yisvarach oz hu omed lifnei Hashem v'sham ein shayach shikra kla. So let's discuss what he says over here. And this is the first very important point. Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave us computers, so we have a lot of good mishalim. Computers are phenomenal for mishalim. You have a computer has two memories, two types of memory. It has a hard drive, which can store, depending on how much money you paid for it, it can store 1,000 gigabytes of stuff. A lot of stuff in that. We call it Torah Kula Plus. That's a hard drive. And there's something called the RAM. That's the memory that the computer's working on. When you want to take something from the hard drive, it takes some time for it to be pulled from the hard drive. When it's whatever is on the memory, on the RAM, that is what it's working with now. And that is on the table, so to speak. God forbid people who've lost their memories to some degree. There's a sharp distinction. A person can be living in a bubble of a few minutes of time where he remembers, because it's a very different type of memory. There's a memory, sort of a storage place where I keep all sorts of facts and figures and stuff. And then there is whatever I'm living now, obviously requires, I need simultaneously to remember there's light, there's a floor, and there's a chair, but it's all in front of me. This is what I'm living. So Torah itself, if a person identifies it with Lifnei Hashem, so a person, when he's learning it, he's living it. And then when he's living it, it's not that he has a good memory. It doesn't go into the hard drive, into that storage place where you put stuff away and so on. It's in front of the table. It's who you are, where you are. If it's some, for instance, let's take an example, stuff that you study at school. Even if you studied well and know it, and you're not in that field, you learned history, you studied history well, you got hundreds and you aced it and everything. Today you're working in a very different area. You'll have to recall it. But something that you're living now, you have it there. I want to share a mashal. I used to teach Eish HaTorah, and Rav Noach Weinberg, who was Rosh Yeshiva, he had a tremendous wisdom of life, Chachmas HaChaim. A lot of his Torah, and it enthralled people who came, was how much life wisdom he found in the Torah. That was one of his extraordinary abilities. And I remember a mashal he gave about remembering what you learned. He said, if in Israel, before everything became a supermarket, everything was a makolet. for those of us who want to admit how old we are, remember grocery stores. And the Makolet was owned by one guy, and he ran the whole thing and worked 14, 15 hours a day. He said, do you ever walk into a Makolet and ask the guy, tell me, where do you have brown rice? And the guy would say, brown rice? That sounds so familiar. You know, it's somewhere on top. It might be in the left side, the right side, in the back, I'm not sure. So you never hear the guy say that. He immediately tells you, it's down here, two shelves up, and I have a special on it. And take it down and so on. He says, do they have to pass like an exam? Do they have to have like an infallible memory to become a Bala Makolet? Didn't never notice a correlation between extraordinary mental abilities and owning a Makolet. He said, it's because he lives it all day long. The only thing in his mind is, are we running out of rice? Is someone going to buy rice? Should we get more rice? Who gets a better deal on rice? Maybe it won't be rice. It's the rice and the cheese and noodles. That's what he lives. It's not memory of the type in the hard drive. It's the type of stuff that you keep in front of you. So if a person learns Torah and it's a storehouse of knowledge, so fine. So that gets put into the hard drive, and some people have big capacity, some have small capacity, some have good connection to hard drive and it's easy to fish out stuff, and some don't. That's in the hard drive. The stuff that's in the RAM, the stuff that the computer is now using, that's a very different type of memory. That's there. It's instantaneous because that's where you are. So Torah itself has, on the surface of it, it's information, it's facts. Yes, the author is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it belongs in the world of facts and figures. Or the person can understand it as a Lifnei Hashem. And when something is a Lifnei Hashem, you're there, you're living it. And that's what he says over here. And now he says, Achsidish Pshat, and like all Siddush Pshatim, in terms of it being the simple meaning of the words, it's not, but in terms of conveying an extraordinary truth, it certainly is. It says, we say it in davening, there's no shikha lifnei kisech vodecha. What it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget. The Hasidic world gave it a taich. If you have the sense of standing in front of Kisa Gavad, you don't forget. Where do we see this expressed more strongly? V'chein Matzino says, she'omru etzel aluchos harishonos lemeidim v'lohoyu shokhechin. It says that they would learn, when the Luchos HaShonos were given, we would learn and not forget. Ki baluchos harishonos shehoylem dveikus babori legamrei v'hoye bedagel shani amartel himatem v'de elin kulchem ozlo hoyse shikas ter klal. So he says, he explains why. Why was it that when we studied the first Luchos, we never forgot? Now, let's understand this. The first Luchos had more Ketusha, they were higher Madrega, everything good. What's it got to do with us? If we were in a different Madrega, I understand. But if the Luchos are different Madrega, what difference does it make to us? What difference does it make to us which Sefer we're learning from? If we have a good head, we'll remember. If we care to remember, we'll remember. So he says, Luchos HaRishonos, because they were completely Dovak and HaKadosh Baruch when they learned it, so that learning had the sense of imminence in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it was that type of kesher that you stood in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the madrega of the people as they learned it, and therefore they could not be forgetting. V'hoyu bedarga shani amarta lehim atem le'en kulchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when you were learning the first Luchos, you were as if you were as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as could be. Ozo yeshichas tar klal. Vayevonim shirotzu levat al veiks v'paris baruch. Next page over here. U'lehachshem yisrael rotzu gam kitzem yeshichas haTorah. So he says, what the Yevonim succeeded in doing was They weren't against knowledge and learning and studying. Anthropology is a valid course, and certainly knowing about everything is wonderful, but it's academic. It's not something that attaches itself to your life force. It's not part of you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's knowledge, ideas, facts, studies. So the Hashechaneh means no longer did you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of you. It was knowledge, it was book knowledge, not living, attached knowledge. And that's where Shekhar came in. I want to read something, a medrash, that really, really brings out his point. It's a Yalkut Shemoni in Yeshayahu. And it speaks, it's going on V'chol B'nayach L'mudei Hashem, and so on. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Klal Yisrael, Ba'olam hazeh, in this world, Yisrael lemeidim Torah mibas v'dam. We learn Torah from somebody flesh and blood, every Rebbe of ours, Tul Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefikach mishakchin oisa, shenitna de Moshe, shaybas v'dam. They forgot it, because it was given at the end of the day by flesh and blood, Moshe Rabbeinu. And why? Why does it make a difference who teaches it? Kishem shebasav adam over, kach limuda over. Because just like somebody of flesh and blood doesn't last, he's ephemeral, he passes on, so too his Torah. In other words, I can never take the words of a person and make it something so significant that I feel this is the essence of life itself. Because this is one person, one opinion, one idea, one teaching. The person passes on, his teaching passes on. Avali says, Lo sed lovo, ein yisrael lemeidim el mipiv shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenema v'chol b'nayich limudi Hashem, v'cheinu oimer lo yomdo odi ish esach v'ish esre'ehu, u'keshem shalokim chai v'kayim lo'olam, Kach limudoi, mashal lemeidimenu, ein ashech la'olam. So he says, a person, because if I feel that I'm attached to the very, very heart of the world, to the essence of the world, then I don't relegate it to the side. This becomes the thing, the core of my being, and therefore it doesn't go, it doesn't become, it does not become forgotten. That's one point he says. So the first point he says is whether you forget something or not depends where you relegate it to. To the side things, to the important things, to the most important things. Let's take another example. As chatoy ani maska yom, and chatoy of half the people in the room, fathers tend to forget things that the children needed to have done for them. It's a weakness of fathers, a common weakness. Mothers never forget what the child needed. And there's a very simple reason. A father knows it's important. But it's a duty and obligation to do. A mother lives the child. And therefore the child's needs are in the core of her being. Not an additional chore. It's not a chore, it's not an obligation, it's not a duty. It's her in a way that a father doesn't have. Because whenever you feel something is part of your very essence, you don't forget it because it's a whole different type of memory. It's not storage memory, it's memory of living it now. He says a second point, and this second point piggybacks on the first one. Shikcha ba mechisor nischatshus. Kaldei mash adov nisiashas abole shikcha. Let's discuss this as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a tremendous gift, and that's called habit. A child, when he learns how to walk, needs to focus 100% on it. He focuses, and he's completely caught up with it because he's got to learn how to walk. As he gets proficient at walking, he relegates it to habit, and he forgets about it, and he doesn't remember it. And the same thing, whatever profession we're on, the first few times we do it, we need to focus 100% on it, and it becomes part of the now, as we become proficient and as the thing itself becomes habit, it moves to a different area of the brain and it no longer is that central spot. That is the difference between new and old. Old means as soon as I don't need to focus on it, it moves. If let's say, let's take an example, a soldier who's in a battle. So he doesn't know what to expect any time. So he's constantly on edge and he's never ought to let his guard down because it's not what was. It's always who knows what surprise is waiting for me now. So those items that I put on autopilot go to autopilot. And so the old means it's already there. The new means I need to be occupied with it now. So he says a fascinating point he brings out. Uksibe parshas Haman. It says, Kach tzinsenes achas, v'ten shama maloha omer mon, v'anachos olfnei Hashem, l'mishas orsecha. It says there was a mitzvah to take a flask of man and to leave it in the Kodesh Kodashim, to leave it in the Kodesh in order that it serve as a memory for generations to come. So the Tzofas Paneach, that's the Ragachava, asks a halachic question. Heyer bazeh. Shalo b'mana yipaisalina. So he asks a lot of questions. Now, it's not a really, really strong question because Hashem said you should do it. So it obviously is overriding any other commandments. But he's asking a thought question. The man could not stay overnight. There are most items in the Beis HaMikdash, leaving it overnight caused it to become puzzle, and it's called lina. Sleeping over. The reason for it is very simple. I mean, there's a simple reason for it. Something that's yesterday, when you go into a place and the bread is yesterday's and 2 days ago and 3 days ago, it's not fresh. You don't serve stuff to somebody important that's stale. If a day went by, it became stale. There's in Israeli yeshivas, when I came to the yeshivas, bread was a staple. It was subsidized by the government, it was the cheapest thing, and it was with the old European mentality that bread is the healthiest thing for you, and you can always find something to put on the bread. You have your choice. As I had a roommate, a Silver Spring boy, Abbas Petner, who said people complain about the Mir Yeshiva that there's no choice for supper. It's definitely not true. You can choose between putting margarine on the bread or jam on the bread. And there are two types of jam. So there's actually three choices, and you can choose not to. So you have a full range of choices. That was, I assure you, he said it with tongue in cheek, but that was his. So they used to get bread. They realized that if the bread is fresh, people would eat more of it. And the yeshivas were, so I remember the mir, they would never serve fresh bread, they would serve the yesterday's bread. It was okay, but you didn't have the same cheshek as it would be today's. And I remember there was in Chevron Yeshiva, a bacha once came to the kitchen staff and said, "May I ask when will you finally serve the fresh bread?" And everyone said, "Yes, tomorrow." You know, the something that stays over a day is not fresh. So it's a bezoyan. It's highly appropriate for something kadosh, leave it over. The man came in Hashemayim to leave it for the next day. Besides the lack of bitachon, it also had that sense of kedush. You can't leave it. So he says, so here the Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, take man and leave it forever there. So it's not a halachic question, really. The question is not, it's one tzivu overrides the other one, one command overrides the other. But in thought, how do we understand this being exceptional? So he says a beautiful point. He says, it says in the pasuk, V'hanach oso lifnei Hashem, ach bahamon shehinicho lifnei Hashem, lo hoyeshayach zeh. Because the man was in the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, it never ever became stale. It's just like if I ask you, do you remember something that happened a day ago? A little bit stale. Do you remember something happened a year ago? A lot more stale. When someone's in front of me, do you remember? Let's say I'm sitting with somebody for an hour, for a day, for a week. Does it make sense? Do you remember him? What do you mean I remember him? I'm with him. Everything in the world that is in together, in communion with Lifnei Hashem, is not aging at all. So he says, as long as you're in that mode of being lifnei Hashem, the same thing is true by a person. If a person feels that if we take the mitzvahs as something that was given to us, the longer time passes, the less we feel obligated, or maybe we feel always obligated, but the less do we feel stimulated to do it. But if we hear the Kol Hashem now, we jump. V'ma adam aymed lifnei Hashem, v'udovek b'chol machav v'ashagiv v'abaris baruch, ozu omen lifnei Hashem v'lo shayach etzol ha-musik shal ishyashnus. V'utamid b'shachshus. Because it's now, not yesterday. So he's making a second point, which sort of reinforces and gives more of a foundation, what I said before. I want to add a point that he doesn't say, but I think lies within the point he's making. When we study the Greeks, who were the first one to understand that the world has a natural order, it means that the world is not at the whim of gods. The mentality of people before the Greek Enlightenment was that, you know, the gods are busy doing everything and so on and so forth. They said, it's not true. We can plot this, we can plot that, everything has an algorithm and it runs naturally. Anything that has an algorithm means it was put into place once, and now it's automatic. The same, I relegate it to the world of the automatic, means it becomes old. The sun is not rising and setting because something that happened now. Once something goes into an orbit, it stays that way unless it stops. So the entire process of looking for natural connections and the natural as being the explanation for the world means that the world was, not the world is. We say mechanish betuvu chayom tamid because if Hashem is there, so yes, Hashem uses a natural order and He will continue to do so. But it's always, there's a hand guiding it, and within that world there's constant hashkacha. But if you don't see it that way, so the Yevanim's point, In the core of their perspective on the world, was to look at the world as what was will be, whereas our perspective through Emunah is it's now because it's now because it's now. Abachatul Chayyotam means it's the same laws of nature, but they exist because. Let me give an example, and I want to an analogy. It'll help us understand how we see our Emunah and so on. Imagine there's a company that has a big company and has different job openings. Or better said, has different job needs. They need somebody to do research, they need somebody to produce the stuff, they need somebody to work, they need somebody to do the books, to be an accountant. So if I get the job as the accountant, there's no guarantee I won't be fired. But once I have the job, I have the job. There's a job there, and I'm doing it, and I was told that I'm the one that does it. And the reason why I'm the accountant today is because I was hired 10 years ago to be an accountant. Imagine that I'm not an accountant, but I'm like the favorite nephew of the boss, and he knows that I'm a shlamazel, I can't do very much. So he says, you sit in the office in the corner there, you know, do whatever you want, and you'll get a check every month. And this goes on for 5 years, 10 years. I can't, it's not right to say, well, I get the check because it's 10 years and it's been going on, so you know, what was will be. If anything, it's probably a reason why it will not be. But it's the reason I got a check today was because today, out of the goodness of his heart, he decided he wants to keep me floating. So yes, it's the same check in the same office and the same computer. But the reason for it is today, not yesterday, not 10 years ago. the world certainly works through a structure of teva, of nature, but that structure is there because Hashem wants it now, not because it is natural that things continue as they were. That law itself is a constant ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a point to take what he said about Yashnes Chatshus and to even explain it in terms of the very, very difference in perspectives between Yavam and Kaiser. And finally, a third point, also along this axis. Shikha Yeshla Shaykhus L'misa Gamke. Shikha also has an analogy to death. Kilamashal. Ha'adam achai chof shanim v'nikra ben chof v'ma yesh le'ila chof shanim tziruf ad sh'nikra ben chof rak al yidei ma she'bechol rega lomer izadova v'chol rega yesh le'keshe v'rega shachakach v'yesh kan tziruf chof shanim. So he makes the following point. Let's add a chazal to what he says. It says that until Avram Avinu there was no zikna in the world. Avram is the first time we find the concept of Zikna mentioned. Avram Zokin Boba Yomim. And it says that with Avram is when Zikna came to the world. And it says why? Why did Avram want Zikna? He says, well, I'll walk in with my son to a simcha. They don't know who they should see in the Mizrach and who they should say, help yourself in the back. This way, I have a white beard. I can sort of creaky when I walk. They put me up in the Mizrach and my son, they tell, find yourself something in the back. I don't know. We have a little bit of a hard time giving a karas hatov to Avraham Avinu for that. Like, what was the point of it? What was the point of it? And it's important enough that Chazal make a big to do about it. And the pasuk by saying Avraham Zuck, and the pasuk says now Zikna started. What does it mean? And the pshat is this goes to the heart of what Avraham was. If I have a cow that's been in my backyard for 20 years. Yes, technically I say it's a 20-year-old cow, but it means nothing. It just means for 20 years this cow's been feeding here, and it probably is not going to last much longer. That's all it means. But are you a person when I say he's a ben shivim or ben shmonim? Chazal tell us, because a person, if he lives his life properly, the years accumulate. Every year is something learned, understood, added. And the Zikna means I'm walking in with 70 years worth of knowledge, experience. Chazal said in front of a guy who's old, we have to stand up because he's gone through a lot in life. And that means he's learned a lot. There's a wisdom that comes with the accumulated knowledge of time. So Zikna is something that means the person has all these years. A person who lives for the day. So yes, there've been 70 years worth of days, but that's it. There's not zikna. So he says, if a person imagine forgets, if a person forgets that day, so that day is gone. It doesn't add up to anything else. For oisereg, it's like kemes, and it's like it doesn't exist. I can't say I have this accumulated time. Means, again, this is a very famous Hasidic pshat, he arrived with the days. He used every moment, and it accumulated in his storehouse of wisdom and knowledge. I want to add an observation. When Lo Aleinu were faced with somebody who's nifter, it's very, very, it's a difficult moment. And part of it is, besides the loss of that person, we also, every person is reminded of his own mortality. We are all mortal, and it hits home our own mortality. Another extremely difficult experience for us is when we see somebody whose memory is going. And you can ask yourself, why is it so difficult? Yes, it's helpful to have memory, but if the person is happy and functioning in the environment that he is, so what? And the answer is because that's the person. The person, if we have a Baal Chai and the Baal Chai forgot, I don't what an animal remembers or doesn't remember. It's irrelevant. As long as it's happy and content now, it's fine. A human being, the years are meant to accumulate. A ben shivim is a ben shivim. He's a 70-year-old, means he has 70 years worth of life. And if chas v'shalom, if our memory falters, then we've lost part of ourselves. And that's why it's such a difficult experience for us when we see it. So he says, shikha is, it has a sense of misa to it. Where it says there was no longer Misa, Luchos Hashanis is an experience that brought Adam back to the way Adam Rishon was. Before the Chet, there was no Misa, there was no Shikha, and it was all life. Because forgetting and dying are one and the same. A person is not just the here and the now. A person is everything that's accumulated. And whatever part of us melts away, that's a certain type of Misa, he says. Okay, and finally he finishes up, and he says, let's finish that paragraph there. Ukesha Adam Omed Lifnei Hashem Umekusha B'kor HaChayim Ozlo Shayech Eslo Shikha Shef HaChiyus. So when a person has that sense of Lifnei Hashem, means he's alive. The difference is, it's like when you're running on batteries or you're plugged into a plug. Lifnei Hashem means I'm standing there and my chiyus, my life force, is from the now. Not from when HaKadosh Baruch Hu charged my batteries when I was born, but I receive my existence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I live it, and there is no place for Misa. I want to add a Hemek Dover, that's the Netziv, who says an incredible pshat, and I think it's, let's review what he said. It's pretty much, I mean, he adds another point about Chanukah, but I want to review the points that he said, and I want to add a beautiful Hemek Dava. So what he's saying is, shikha, forgetting, we're not talking about mental abilities. People with these phenomenal photographic memories that remember everything, that's wonderful. It's not, doesn't make him into a big person or a chasha person. People who have difficult memories, that in itself doesn't make you a small person. Chazering and learning a lot so that you know well is very, very recommended. That's also good. But when we talk about lashkicham tarasecha, we're talking about a very different phenomena. We're talking about the experience of learning and what the person experiences. Does the person feel that it goes to the core of who he is and who and what he is? Or is it something else? I remember when I was at Israel, I heard a story that somebody told over about his mother-in-law, and it shook me. I'd been living in Israel, I lived in Israel for 25 years, and Friday in Israel, Friday afternoon, everything is closed, Baruch Hashem. You know, unless those stores that choose remain open on Shabbos, but it's, certainly when I came there, after 12, 1 o'clock, you couldn't find any stores open, and that was it. So Friday afternoon, there was no shopping, there was nothing. I was sitting and talking with somebody, and he said, you know, they had a very frightening experience. It was Friday afternoon, and it got very close to Lichtenstein, and his mother-in-law hadn't come home yet in the States, and everybody was worried and shocked, and who knows what and when and that. She ran in the last second. She said she had been shopping this in the store, this in the department store. She had been so involved, she completely forgot it was Friday, and so on and so forth. So I remember I was shocked because I just wasn't used to the idea of stores being, oh, you know, it just was a different culture, different world. But the idea to us that it's possible. So that means if Friday and Shabbos, imagine the same scenario where a woman has a baby at home waiting for something. She doesn't forget about it. You're very, very, that's you. Everything else is on the side. There's an extraordinary Hemek Dover. That's a Netziv. He says like this. We say in Parashas Kisavo, it says that when you bring every 3 years, you have to get rid of all the accumulated chumas and maisras. You can hold on to them, but at the end of 3 years, you have to get rid of it, and it's called beer maisras, and you either are podet and you bring it to Shlaim, or you today we put it, throw it out the Yam HaMelech, and so on. Everything has to be gotten rid of. Clean it, clear the house. You say a vidu, you say a little formula, and you say basically the gist of it is, I performed all the mitzvahs, I did whatever you said, I ate it properly, I took care of it properly, I didn't misuse it. That's what it is. And then, you know, Nashkiv Mokashcha, it says, Asisi Chol Mitzvah Secha says, and it says, Lo Yavarti Mitzvah Secha, I wasn't over on any of the Averis, V'lo shachachti. And I didn't forget any of them. What does that mean, I didn't forget any of them? Yes, you know, it's not good to forget. But what kind of vidu is it, I didn't forget? So he says, lo evarta ladinim afilu b'shiga shikha. And now he says an insight. The afagav the kaimelim b'shili perek beizda b'b'kamer shikha hu ones. Let's say a person forgets that he has, this is the case in Gemara gives, forgets he has a rock in his pocket. And it falls out, and Chas v'Shalom kills some or hurts somebody. Is that called an ones? In which case he'd only be responsible for nezek, a smaller amount? Or is that considered some sort of mazid? And he's responsible for four or five different elements. And not important to go into these halachas. It's a much different level of responsibility if it's an onus. Forgetting that you had something. I completely forgot that I have a knife in my pocket, and when I gave the guy a big hug, he got a cut with the hug together. So what's the halacha? So it says that if you forget, it's an onus. So he says, an onus means it's beyond your powers, and so on. Eino elo achelon schay b'shmirasa. Kigon sheniach even b'cheiko, asher shem adam. If it happened when the person saw I was in my house, and I decided I might need a knife for something, I don't know, maybe I want to travel somewhere, and I wanted some extra attention at the TSA or something, and I put a knife in my pocket, okay, and I forgot about it. V'achakach bo adam etzlo, v'ushachach she'even b'cheiko, v'omad v'nafal even b'hizik, potem da'al dvar. So if I put the knife in my pocket because I was going on a fishing, hunting, whatever it was, I forgot about it. And then I meet somebody, give a big hug. There, the halach is, that's called onus. Aval im hiniach ha'evin asher achar sheyesham adam v'shach ha'chakach, be'em es chayev dal advar. So he says, if I meet the person, we're together, and I say, ah, here's a knife, we'll take it along for the trip. That's no longer an accident, because I have a responsibility. Once responsibility is set in, because there's another person in the picture, then I'm not allowed to relegate the knife to the hard drive. I need to constantly sit and think. Responsible for the person. Knife is not good. Be careful. Knife's not good. That has to be in my active memory. Because once responsibility sets in, that's the way I have to treat it. So shikha, forgetting, really is a factor that depends on a person's attitude of where he puts that information. So to sum it all up, the point of Torah is that it's Torah's chayim. It's something that is supposed to become part and parcel of our self. And it's supposed to come into that core of self that you can't forget it as long as this is you. I just told a story that, with the difference between, there was a Gabbai stuck in Yerushalayim named Rabbi Yosef Rubin Zechan Avracha. Those of you who've ever had children in Yeshiva and they collect for Yosef Chai, it's named after him. Rabbi Yosef Rubin was a very big Talmud Chacham, a chashva person. He was a Gabbai stuck, and every Thursday and Friday he would go through all the places and collect stuck and give it out. He was an extraordinary special person. He has a son-in-law who's one of the huge Talmud Chacham Yerushalayim, Tzvi Cheshen, and he had a stroke. He was not an old man. He had a stroke, fell into a coma, and was nifta. And when he was in that phase of, you know, after the coma, sort of in the coma going towards the end, he, the doctors told him it's important to talk, to stimulate him, to see, to snap. Nothing. It was a few weeks before Pesach. And someone said to him, Rabbi Yosef, what's going to be with all the people who need the money that you collect for Pesach? And he started crying. That means that if there was a core, that the awareness and the memory and the of what he was doing was at the core of his person. It wasn't another piece of important information. That was at the very, very core of his personality. And that's why, if as long as he was breathing, this would still be there. Torah is meant to be Torah's Chaim, and we... And if we live it that way, so that if on Shabbos, if we were on a high enough madriga, on Shabbos our mind would constantly be, half our mind would be occupied with beware, be careful, remember, and so on. Zohar as Yom HaShabbos. We have that in the memory. In as much as our attitude of Torah is lifnei Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking. He didn't give us the Torah. He didn't tell us the Torah, but he's talking the Torah to us. Then we would have that same sense of immediacy and imminence that wouldn't allow for forgetting to take place. Chanukah was a time when the Yevanim tried lashkicham Torah secha, which means to take the same information, the same knowledge, and give it a different spin. Relegated to the world of another academic discipline. It's nice, it's interesting, it has value, it has truth, but it's not something that comes to the very core. Those things that come to the very core, those things that lift Hashem, like says, that there's no shikra. In shikra lifekisik vodecha, those things that a person is aware of in the context of being lifnei Hashem, those are the things that stay forever, and there's no shikra, and there's no lashkir in Torah Secha. Frel Chanukah.